I remember we were talking in San Antonio about the Toads. You go, stop. We're going to talk about these Toads on the podcast.
Yeah,
that shit's funny.
You have the Toads. You have psychedelic Toads.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait, wait. Yeah.
Time out.
Yeah, what? Buffalo Algerians. All right.
What in tarnation?
I literally have added like 12 shows to my calendar in the last 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
I've got dates all over the country between now and December 19th, and we're still adding dates, but almost all of them are already on my website at ajwilkerson.com. Wherever, Denver, Fort Collins, Colorado, Boston, Phoenix, Pittsburgh.
San Diego.
Fuck yeah.
Irvine, California. Ontario, California. I'm going up to West Nyack, New York. I'm all over the place. And Kansas City, I'm at Fountain City Comedy Festival. And then the weekend, that weekend, I'm in Springfield, Missouri. Literally, I'm everywhere I can go, and the calendar is almost completely full through the end of the year, so go get your ticket.
Bufo alvarius, the Colorado River Toads, the most purest form of DMT you can get. 5-MAO DMT, which is like kind of different than the plant-derived shit, which the MAO just kind of opens it up to, like when you scan your brain, if you're smoking regular DMT, like here and here lights up. When you have the MAO inhibitor, like your whole brain fucking lights up. It's a different experience, man.
What? How do you? So the frogs, do they like lick you or something? Or like?
That's kind of like the mythology behind it. But really, you excrete their venom from their glands onto like a glass slide. Let that dry a 24-hour period or so. Dust that on a little bowl of weed. You'll go where you're wanting to go. People freebase it and shit like that too. But you really don't have to go that crazy with it.
Yeah, you could like a little keef on a bowl of
a match head's worth on top of a bowl, and it's 15 minutes.
You're gonna
you're
find
not
the
here.
Universe.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, exactly.
I've always been interested in DMT, but it's like one of the one things I haven't done yet.
Be someplace safe and comfortable and by yourself. That's my biggest thing.
By
I think
yourself.
Is by yourself. Don't be
so
with other
my
people.
Interest in DMT. Like I've read into some of the medical research parts
of it.
And it's like such an intense psychedelic effect, but such a short period
like
of time.
Like a whippet. Like a whippet and peyote had a baby. So your brain is already producing this chemical. You're only smoking enough of it to really make your brain turn on and flood itself with what it already has.
DMT is a chemical that like goes whenever you're like dying, right?
Yeah,
like
they say that's why you see the light. Right.
Huh.
For sure.
Holy shit,
or,
I didn't
like
know
like your
that.
Life flashes before your eyes.
All your, all that whole afterlife experience, they say that's DMT flooding your brain.
Isn't it like meant to like protect you from like feeling shit too? Like
I'm sure.
As soon as that fucking
because you're not
off.
Here no more. That's the, you're... like every other psychedelic, you're here but the world's different.
Yeah.
I truly believe where you go on DMT is another dimensional plane that you can only access through this chemical. I think it's a real place and it's not fucking here. It's not like other fucking substances.
Many people say that.
Right, for sure. For sure. I've met things on the other side of this wall that aren't from here.
Oh, so you've done it a lot. Wow.
I smoked DMT every morning for breakfast before I would go to work at my vet tech job, like all of 2010. I'd get up in the morning, I'd tee off a fucking fat bowl in bed, I'd have my little experience in bed, I'd get up, get ready for work, you're fine, in 20 minutes you're back to normal.
There's no like hangover feeling or like
not at all.
That's like the like where they've been doing like testing with it and stuff and like medical research, they're like, this is outpatient procedure testing, similar to how they do like medical doses with ketamine,
right?
But no k-hole.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a whole
you're
kind
in
of
a
state
hole,
during
but
that
a, it, but
it's you're right
it's,
back out
yes.
of it right.
And it's with like with k-holes, some people can come out like extremely traumatized,
right?
And there's almost no like medical cases of like a traumatic DMT experience.
I highly compare it to like the, when I was using it like that, that was like my morning meditation. That's really what it was for me. It was like I would, that was how I was meditating in the morning, was I was going to another plane of existence and having talks with intergalactic beings.
Yeah. What? Did you ever have a bad,
then you come
a scary?
Back and you're like, my problems are very minuscule.
Yo, for sure. I'm a blip in a fucking radar, bro. I've never had a bad one, but I've witnessed other people have not great ones. Mm. To me, that's something that was in them, though. It's some demon that they probably needed to confront. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
That's
for sure.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of some dark shit.
You're going to meet anything that you've locked away, you're going to meet it. Yeah, I've relived some bad experiences and stuff like that, but when like the backside of it, it's always like this positive thing.
Okay.
Right. For
that's,
sure.
And that's what they were talking about with the medical studies. Like, there's right. no long-term negative. Right. Like, how people will have like psychotic breaks from
for
certain
sure.
drugs and things
for
like
sure.
that. Yeah.
Like permatrip.
Sure. Yes. Right. And they're saying there's not a lot of research or anything that indicates issues with that with like natural DMT. Now,
for sure.
Now with like synthetic DMT and shit like that, that's
right.
where people like, and that's where you hear about like horror stories about things.
For
it's
sure.
like, well, what else was in that DMT?
Yeah.
People smoking those vape pens with it and stuff like
that.
I don't trust all that
shit. That's
either.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what
you,
the fuck's in a vape
cart. This is dried from a frog?
Right.
All
right. For sure. For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
This came from a plant, the ground, or an animal.
That's all I do anymore.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Well, and a little bit of acid, too.
A little bit.
I almost prefer
acid
over mushrooms.
Yeah. I'm that way now, man. If I'm doing mushrooms, I better be, like, at home in a comfortable place.
Yeah.
Where, like, one hit of acid, I can go conquer the world. Like, I just feel like everything's tuned up to 10.
Yeah. Mushrooms, sure. I've found, like, it used to be, like, earlier on when I was doing them in my early 20s, like, I could be around people. But
mm-hmm.
now, like, I'll take them, I'll be around people, and then at one point I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah, no, totally.
I gotta go.
Totally.
Bye.
So sorry. Gotta go.
And drunks and mushroom people, like, you're both talking a language, and it's not the same language anymore. You know
yeah.
what I mean? For sure.
Dude, one time I took... an eighth of mushrooms to myself.
Yeah.
And I tripped so hard, and I was somehow ended up at a party where no one else was on mushrooms, and I was like, oh man.
No.
I just literally ended up laying in the back of my friend's car and like just drawing circles with my cigarette, and
yeah,
then I just
dude.
Had like ashes everywhere. I didn't smoke it. I just was like writing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's fucking awesome.
Just crop dusting yourself.
Yeah.
Cigarette.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure did.
You're like, I'm writing in my air diary.
Yeah.
My air diary.
No one understands me here.
Dear universe.
Oh my god. And then I remember, and then we left and we went somewhere else, and this, I walked into this guy's house and into somebody's room, and there was I think it was the movie Friday was on or something, and there was a tiny TV. It was like up on the scene. It was like eye level to me.
Yeah.
And it was a scene where like they're walking in a club or something, and I literally was like, we're walking into a club. Like, I literally thought we were like walking
you
into a club.
Grand Theft Auto.
Like,
yourself
now
in
we're
club.
Like, oh, this is fucking crazy. And then I didn't do mushrooms for a really long time because I ended up just having a bad trip because I was like the only one on drugs.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah,
I
for
like,
sure. No, somebody's got to be on the same drugs you're on if you're out and about, for sure.
Yeah.
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 Or else I feel like I get too
I
conscious of other people's perceptions.
Yeah.
Like, I've
yeah.
become afraid of being perceived.
100%. Yeah. Somebody's going to know I'm tripping.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I just let
yeah.
everyone know.
Yeah.
So my first time I ever did acid,
yeah.
I had already started doing comedy, and I was already living in the van. And for a little bit, I had like an office.
You're right.
Like, I rented an office in a, like a building.
Oh.
And it was just like the last office, and like and I'd keep like a couch in there and all my computer shit. And
hell
like
yeah.
I'd edit and whatever. But I was in my office. I took the acid, and right as it started to work, I was looking at the box that my iMac came in, and it's got that weird, colorful, like, spirally design on
right.
it, and it was starting to move, and I was like, I shouldn't be alone right now. So I walked, like, 3 blocks over to this bar where we would do, like our Monday night open mics,
yeah.
and it was a Tuesday night, so there was no open mic, but there were still comedians there because they were doing like a Super Smash Brothers tournament in the bar.
Yeah.
So I just show up and like a couple other comedians are there, and one of them's like, "Hey, buddy, are you okay?" And I was like, "I am on acid for the first time." And they were like, "Okay, cool. We'll keep an eye on you. Cool. Don't let me wander off." And then I was just in this bar. I lost my very first Smash Brothers game, but had a great time doing it.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then I sat at the bar and had a grilled cheese sandwich and Virgil's handcrafted cane sugar root beer.
Hell yeah, dude.
And watched the entire Free Solo documentary on Disney Plus about that Alex Honnold guy.
Yeah.
They had it on the TV. It came on at the end of the bar while I was waiting for my food, and by the time my sandwich got there, I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I was also untethered.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep, I was also not tethered to anything. I was like, I am holding on to this sandwich and this bar stool. And just occasionally somebody would come by and be like, are you still with us? And be like, I haven't left yet. I'm not here, but I haven't left yet.
Yeah. That's fucking great,
what
man.
Was the time you were talking to me about where you got stuck in a parade?
That was the first time
You're now just part of a parade. You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Stuck in a parade.
Okay. So before I got my medical marijuana card, the first time I like smoked like actual medical marijuana as an adult.
Yeah.
I was living in Fort Myers. It was like a month or two after like somebody like a nurse first was like, you should probably look into this.
Right.
And I started to look into it, and I had done all these like the surveys and questionnaires and all the things that they sent me, and all of the results were like, you should talk to somebody about this. You should see a professional.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine in Fort Myers had, they're like, my guy that I get weed from gets it from a dispensary.
Right.
And I was like, cool. So I got weed, like medical marijuana, and I don't remember what strain it was or anything.
Sure.
I just know I was going to meet my friend Ben downtown in Fort Myers, and I used to go out like around people, I would have to get like buzzed.
Right.
Like, I was pre-gaming the pre-game.
Sure, I get you.
And so I went downtown with no alcohol, and right before I got to like the parking area for downtown, I was like, let me go ahead and light this up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm smoking a joint and in the car, and then I realized where the parking area is, there are police officers.
Right.
It's like a police barricade. And I have to put this joint out and be like, I'm going to jail. I roll the window down, and he's like, oh, there's an event downtown, so we've closed the streets off for this. You have to park over here in like this field. And I was like, cool. And just went and parked in the field and started walking towards where like the bar was meeting my friend out at. And at this point I'm like realizing like I'm high because I'm just wandering through this field, and I'm like, okay, let me get to the street and let me get like back on a path. And I like, there's people everywhere in these barricades. I'm like, something's going on, but I don't, that doesn't register to me.
Sure.
And I just get to a street where everyone is lining the street, and I'm just like shuffling through the crowd into the street, into the middle of a parade. And now I'm just in the parade.
In the parade.
I'm just in the street.
Awesome.
In the, no one stopped me. I need to be very clear about this.
Yeah.
No one stopped me. They high-fived me.
Right.
I was wearing a black t-shirt, and I'm just a large person, so I think people just assumed I was part of, like, the security for the parade. And then I just started walking with the parade, and people on the streets are like, hell yeah, high fives. And then a group in the parade, it was a bunch of people on bicycles, but they all had like the light up, like the, you know, like the snap glow in the dark like necklaces and shit like that.
Yeah.
All wrapped in their bicycle spokes and on their like bicycle outfits.
Yeah.
I don't know, unitards, whatever those things are. But just glow lights everywhere. Right. And I'm like, this is fucking cool. So I started keeping pace with them. And one of them had like the little baby carrier thing on the back of their bike, like the pull behind one.
Right.
But it just had a giant Bluetooth speaker in it. And they kept blasting like 80s hits. So we sang Sweet Caroline together like 7 times before the parade turned and I kept going straight.
Fucking best parade
best
ever.
Best parade ever.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Wow.
Hell yeah. Drugs are bad. My ass.
My ass. What a sweet story. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I went from being like one of the like near the worst like mental health places I'd ever been in my life to being like, I think I'm like grand marshal of this parade. They love me.
I'm the mayor.
I could be mayor of this town today.
I'm the mayor.
Let me stop by downtown tomorrow and pick up my key to the city.
That's right. Fuck yeah, dude. I love it.
You fucking goof.
I got to the bar and where like in a situation where normally I would be like, I literally to showing up at a bar, my standard order when I first get to the bar was two, like a shot of whiskey, a whiskey on the rocks, and a beer.
Right.
I need 3 drinks right now
for sure.
If
just
I'm going to be here for more than 10 minutes.
Knock the dust off. Right. Yeah.
And then I would load up there and then just sip beers until I'm like, these are wearing off. I'm going to need another shot.
Hell yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was at it heavy for a good part of my life, man. And I never had like a serious personal problem, but everybody around me, I just started watching it just like tear down. Mm. I was like, all right, I can't be a part of this anymore.
Same.
Man.
I never had like a serious problem where I would have to wake up and just start drinking. And I wasn't like drinking when I was by myself.
Right.
But I watched it happened to some of the other friends and people that I would party with and stuff. And then I was like, oh.
Yep.
I don't have that, but I also have an unhealthy relationship.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. My best friend drank himself during 2020 to death. He's no longer with us, man. And it was a huge turning point why I like kind of got into comedy too, honestly, because this was like my comedy guy that I went and saw everybody do. We saw Louis C.K. together. We saw Bert go from doing like a little private thing to like 3 times later, he was doing AT&T Center, you know what I mean? We saw Bill Burr together. We saw everybody. And it was like, it was always that thing when anytime you were around my buddy Yanni, like in his car, he had the Sirius radio on the comedy. If you were at his restaurant in the back, that's what was playing in the back, man. And so like when he passed, that was something that really led me to this too. Was like, I wanted to do something kind of in his name and to represent him. And that was a big part of why like I quit drinking and I got going down this road, man, was because I wanted to kind of dedicate this to my friend who was like my comedy buddy for all those years, man, for sure.
That's
for sure.
Sweet.
That's very sweet, but I'm also very sorry.
For sure.
Yeah, alcohol's weird. I'm actually happy that so many people are like getting sober.
Yeah, I mean, smoke weed, dude. Smoke some weed. Nobody dies from that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, also, like, yeah, do whatever.
Your liver's good. Your kidneys are functional.
Dude, I talk about this as often as I possibly can because it's one of those things where it's like, if you understand history, you understand, like, where the government has made decisions that have altered the way that we live life.
Fucking may, dude.
Dude, then
fuck you, Harry Anslinger. You're right. Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Bro, I know history, dude.
That's what I'm talking about. Harry Anslinger was the director of the what later became the ATF.
Right.
Yeah.
But he was the guy that made the decision and
this
took
devil
before
plants
Congress.
Making Mexicans rape our white women. Fucking dude, what a piece of shit.
It makes Mexicans rape, and if white women have it, they'll have sex with black guys.
That's
we can't have that as a country.
For sure.
All because
they were trying to take
prohibition
down,
and gave alcohol. Well,
and
back.
They were trying to take down the Black Panthers. They were trying to take anybody who was going to like be a hipsters that were going to march or whatever. they were all part of the kind of the weed culture. It was an easy way to turn it all into drug busts, man.
Well,
shut these people
it
down.
It also fell directly in line with like the oil and plastics industry at the time.
Paper,
replacing him.
Paper.
And the paper industry, all in replacing
him. For sure.
Damn.
And we can get rid of marijuana, and so it won't compete with alcohol anymore, so we can all invest in the business that we just re-legalized.
Exactly.
We can give our law enforcement something else to go after.
For sure.
And by doing that, we undermine this product to support these other ones.
Because hemp was going to put paper out of business. They were going to put cotton out of business, plastic out of business. We weren't going to let that happen, dude, for sure.
Imagine a world without plastic?
Right, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, we wouldn't all have a credit card coming out of our body.
Like polluting and the environment and fucking killing sea turtles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Listen, you have a credit card in your body every week from consumed plastics now, they're saying, basically.
That's crazy.
From like just drinking water bottles and, you know, general consumption.
Like consuming microplastics.
Right. It all equals roughly a credit card's worth of microplastics are entering the average human body a week. Right.
Oh, no wonder why we're all fucking
dying
of cancer.
Yeah, no shit. For sure.
Jeez, you wonder why I feel like shit.
For sure, dude.
God damn.
Yeah, now we're finding out like more like environmental shit about hemp, like even like wood and bricks and building materials and things like that. Like
for sure.
A hectare of land in like where you with industrialized hemp produces more oxygen, produce like all sorts of benefits to the environment over the things that we grow to do that.
Hemp-derived oils, fucking running vehicles, fucking halfway across the country in trials, man. There's a whole ton of reasons, you know, that they're going to try to keep this out as long as they can keep fucking, you know, big business is going to keep it out, for sure. It's all about, you know, doesn't matter right or left. It's the same fucking five companies are supporting these fucking people either way. You know what I mean?
It's not the same red and investors. Blue, it's green, and we keep getting fucked by green.
100%, dude. 100%, man. No matter what, at the end of the day, all these people, they go to the same colleges, they have the same special interests, they have the same investors, man, and it's... I don't know how do you fix that.
It's literally like the shit... Like, when people talk about, like, the... What's the secret? The Illuminati and the shit like that. That's who they're talking about. Like, it's we don't think it's not a real secret organization.
Right.
We,
they're right in our face.
Right in our
fucking
faces.
The WHO, the World Health Organization, bro. They're as evil as they fucking come, and they're right in your fucking face, man. For sure. Yeah.
Dude, autism speaks.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Autism speaks. A group that supposedly represents autistic people, but in their, like, their commercials and their things, like, they don't think we should exist.
Right.
Wait, what
the fuck,
what?
Bro?
Yeah, their goal is to cure the world of autism.
Why? Right.
They don't think we should exist.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's shitty.
Yeah, that's crazy for sure. Yeah, you might be able to think freely and on your own still. You got this autism thing. Well, I don't like that. For sure.
They're growing too powerful.
Yeah.
We must eliminate them.
That's right. No matter how ignorant we are, they have to make it make sense. You know what I mean? Like, fucking, an autistic guy's not going to take no bullshit. I got to find the fucking facts out of this motherfucker, bro. For sure. Yeah.
There were multiple targets to that Holocaust.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Jewish people, gay people, autistics.
Right.
That's why our Asperger's came from us. These are the ones that we feel like we can control.
Sure, exactly, man. Right. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, autistic people, we want, like, a good reason for things. You know what I'm saying? If you can't give me one, I'm going to argue with you for a long time.
Yeah. Dude, there was a thing about that. Like with like rules, like social rules, social constructs, laws, all things like that, like that autistic people struggle with because if it doesn't make logical sense to me, I'm not going to abide by it.
Exactly.
I can't force myself to abide by it because my brain will follow the logic without me knowing that it's following.
100%, dude. 100%. Hell yeah.
Wild.
No.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep smoking weed because I don't think it's wrong.
You do.
I understand it was made illegal because for industrial reasons and racism.
And none of that has anything to do with me, bro.
So it's illegal, but it helps me. So what rule?
Oh, it's my food, probably.
Oh. Sorry. I was like, we've spoken, right. We've said too much.
I'm like, the FBI are here.
Right. No, I was like, we're... Thank you,
sir.
Thanks, bud.
What'd you get?
Just a little salmon salad.
Ooh. There you go. Love that.
I love that, too. I'll eat it when we're done, honey. Thank you, baby.
Yeah, we got a wee bit, don't we?
Yeah.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah, when you guys eat your sliders.
This has been my favorite episode so far, I think.
Out of the Austin ones? Or just in general?
In general.
Yeah.
We're like, fuck the government.
Pigs. I can talk about fuck the government all day,
bro. We
suck
people in with all the cute animal stuff. And then we're like, the government sucks, they're out to get us. Right.
Watch out for the World Health Organization. Yeah, right. Yeah. We can go Alex Jones real quick in this motherfucker, bro. So that's where
we're like anti, though.
Right.
We're like the opposite
for
side.
Sure. It's kind of where part of my name came from. So Ivory... The snakes that I'm focused on, I make a solid white snake called an ivory. And I make more ivory reticulated pythons, Burmese pythons, and blood pythons than like anybody else in the country. So that's where kind of the first part came from. But I used to do these YouTube videos where I'd put a vest on and a foil hat, and I would rant like Alex Jones about the other breeders in the industry. You don't want to fuck with Bob Clark. He's putting snakes in boxes with no heat packs. I would just like go off, bro. And fucking, so that's where the Ivory Jones character then like translated to stage from there.
That's for funny. Sure.
Ivory's not your real name?
No. I'm very Irish. My name is like Irish Irison, basically. Oh,
Jameson.
Yeah.
Jameson O'Shaughnessy.
Sure. Yeah. O'Shaughnessy.
For sure.
I thought, Ivory's a cool fucking name.
Yeah, it's not my real name. I gave that to myself.
No.
For sure.
It fits.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Wait, is Alex Jones that one comedian you were talking about?
Crazy internet personality.
Yeah.
Was sued for millions of dollars over Sandy.
The water is turning the frogs gay.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking with Alex Jones, though, man.
She's talking about there's the conspiracy theory on the internet that Alex Jones is Bill Hicks.
I have heard this. I have heard this. It's
not the
wild.
Comedian. Yeah, the guy who said that that one school shooting was fake.
He's the guy, the Sandy Hook denier that lost the billion-dollar lawsuit.
Oh, he's alive.
One out of 10 things he says, though, is like, spot the fuck on. Like, you can't tell what he's going to be writing when he's like being Alex Jones. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, my mom, there's a saying, I mean, it's a southern saying, I'm sure other parents say it, but even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Even a blind hog can find an acre. Yeah, that's my neighborhood. Yep. For sure.
Yeah,
dude.
That's true. That's true.
Or even a broken watch is right twice a day.
For sure.
Kind of thing.
Yep. For sure. You throw enough shit at a wall, something's going to stick. Yep.
Man.
Hell yeah.
Kanye still makes good songs.
He does.
For sure, dude.
His music's so good. I know he's done some bad
still
things.
Or it was good.
All of it.
I'm not sure. I don't know that I've heard a new Kanye song in a while.
Yeah, for sure. But like College Dropout, like those first three albums
pretty.
But he also wasn't crazy then. Right?
That might be up for argument.
Just,
We just didn't know it yet.
He just was on his medication and had less yes men around him.
And away from the Kardashians.
Also that.
Yeah.
And he was obsessed in his craft. That guy fucking literally locked himself in a basement and just made beats for like 7 years. You know what I mean? You obsess over anything long enough, you ought to make success out of it, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah. That's when I thought we were like, there was a lot before the more recent round of things. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of the album, but there was like the whole thing where like Kanye's locked himself in like a cabin in Montana right. to make this new with Kid Cudi to make an album,
and we're like, "Good, this is what we've been waiting for."
This is what we've been waiting for, and then it was like the album where he had that song about Kim Kardashian, where he's like, "I thought about killing you today," and I was like, "This is not the
this
one."
This wasn't the one.
Nope. You locked yourself in that. You locked yourself in the wrong glass case of emotions.
Hell yeah.
Son of a bitch. Are you from Texas originally?
Dallas, Texas, born and raised. At 28 years old is when I moved to Elmo and just kind of just retired from city life at that point. I was really taken off with my animal stuff. I was mostly on the road, either vending a reptile show from like Vegas to fucking damn near Florida, anywhere across the South, or I was at home tending to the farm, man. So, but I was a Dallasite. For most of my life, shit just got crazy, man. They gentrified everywhere that I lived where I couldn't afford to live there no more. Yeah. I lived in a ghetto, and if you go there now, it's like all $3 million houses. So they pushed all of us out. I don't know where all like the apartments and shit that used to be over there are gone, because like there's nothing there now but fucking McMansions everywhere, for sure.
McMansions,
for sure.
Yeah, wild.
For sure.
It's crazy.
Yep.
I'll move out into the country.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, now I can't believe I lived in the city. Like, I love having chickens and pigs and shit running around, man.
Absolutely.
I love being able to piss in my front yard. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I could. I'm probably going to wind up closer to the Austin area at some point, but I'll be like in Georgetown or Pfluger. Someplace where I can dip in, but I can still leave my little private life. Because when I'm out of it, I want to be, like, out of it, you know? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
No one, like, really prepared me for living in a big city for the first time.
Yeah.
I grew up in like really small, secluded north mm-hmm. of or over by Wichita Falls.
Gotcha. Yep.
Like an hour away from
ain't
there.
Shit out there.
Bro. Ooh. Right.
Electra and fucking those
past
little towns.
That.
Yeah.
Past,
I gotcha.
Past Electra, yeah, past dude. Harold, Vernon. Past
yep.
Vernon.
Okay.
So Lockett, Texas.
You had a train and a stop sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
For
wait,
sure.
So
yeah.
Is Nashville your first big city you lived in?
No, it was it was after I got out of the army. It was Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, tight.
And no one told me about like the sound. And I'll never forget the sound, like, almost drove me crazy. Like, the constant hum of a city.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I, like, picked up.
I'm
used
to
it now. I'm used to it now. But, like, when I first moved there, it was like, where can I go where this isn't going on?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, like, how far do I have to drive to get away from
the
whatever
hum.
This hum is? Yeah.
No, I don't even
kind
know
of
if
same.
Noticed
yeah.
That.
Like, I grew up, like, my parents, the house we built, like, they built when we were little was on 10 acres.
Okay.
On like at like after where like a Lime Rock Road
mm-hmm.
style subdivision that's mm-hmm. like farms and people with like land.
Sure.
Where that ended and like the Lime Rock Road turned to sugar sand.
Oh,
we were
sure.
out
right.
past that.
Got you, dude.
Like my parents sent me to a public school in a different county for most of high school because that like our high school in our town wasn't an accredited school.
Oh wow, yeah.
Rural. Yeah, and then the school they sent me to was still so rural that their big magnet program was their ag program.
Gotcha, right.
Like we had more John Deere's than school buses.
Sure.
And then the private school that I graduated high school from was a caution light town, like unincorporated, with
right.
a gas station / bait shop, a post office, and a church.
Hell yeah, dude.
My graduating class was 3 people.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
You're the first person I've met.
I am not
that's
well adapted
town.
For people.
Yeah, right. dude. Fuck. That's crazy, man.
I thought my class was small until I met you because I graduated with 7.
Yeah, that's pretty
fucking wild.
And then
you said 3 and I was like, damn, that's just like me and 2 of my cousins.
My graduating high school class was 1,000 people.
Right.
That's more than my whole school, kindergarten through 12.
If I had graduated, there would have been a couple hundred people
in
my class.
At public school. But that was bigger than my whole high school. My graduating class there would have been like 280.
Yeah, it was like 1,000 people.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's wild.
Yeah, kindergarten through 12th grade where I went to school was about 120 to 140 people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I went to W.T. White High School for a couple of years in North Dallas, but I'm a high school dropout, so Yeah, there. I don't know how many people were in my graduating class. There were a bunch of pregnant Latinas in my GED class. Hell yeah. For sure.
Hell yeah, dude.
For sure.
Let's go.
How many of those were yours?
None were mine. Oh, none okay. were mine, thankfully. Yep. No kids, yeah, no
just
wives.
The Mexican beaded.
Just the Mexican beaded lizards on my head. That's right. Those are my children.
Yep. That's so
Hell
funny.
Yeah, dude. For sure.
Did you ever think like you wanted kids, or were you just like always like, I just want a reptile?
I come from a really fucked up house, man. Like, okay. At an early age, I was watching people try to kill each other in my home, and I was like, man, I don't want no part of any of this. And so, like, I've always just been leery of like long term relationship stuff in general. I almost got married once in 2019. And then she tried to murder me with a large kitchen knife. So, like, I just kind of chill these days, man. I play with my little animals. I do my little comedy thing. And I figure, like, if the right person comes along, it'll come along. But it's not something that I'm really even actively looking for at this point in my life.
Yeah, I got
stuff to figure out still.
You see, not all relationships people try to kill each other.
Oh, yeah. And everybody's like at the end of a knife.
I'm just learning this lesson myself.
Yeah, everybody's at the end of a knife in every relationship I've ever seen. Like, I don't know. It's wild where I come from.
Yeah,
you
just haven't been in the right
place. Yeah,
I got
scars,
chest.
Bro.
I got stabbed right there.
Yeah, he got
we
stabbed.
We
can
turn
by...
this into Jaws, man. Hell yeah. I got scars, bro.
Yeah, some girl stabbed him and then he tried to marry her. And I was like, I promise you I'll never stab you.
Yeah. For sure.
I will never get violent with you. Sure. That ain't my shit.
She only cuts with her words.
But also,
sometimes
that's true.
Sometimes that's worse.
Just stab me.
When they really know you well, them words hurt too, bro. Fuck. Have you thinking about some shit seriously in the middle of the night? Like, damn, I am just like my dad. Son of a bitch, you got me.
How did you know?
Yeah, that one goes on the scoreboard.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. For me too, it's all about like I've built so much alone. Like you're gonna have to come in and start laying bricks too. And I don't feel like a lot of people, not women in general, just like people in general, aren't really looking to build these days, man. Even within like the comedy thing, I've got a really good core like four. I wish I could do that so bad.
I'm sorry.
That sounds so awesome.
Yeah. me too. I can't.
But I got like these core four, like me and you know, my main guys we're doing stuff with. We're all builders. We're all actively out looking for venues together and plugging each other and working together. But I feel like so many other people from where we came from, everybody wants to be the guy. And like I came in this from the jump of like, I don't even see myself there. I see like myself, I could help build a lot of people to be a guy. I could be that middle act that's solid or that nice opening act that's always solid and rotate and help build somebody into that. But I don't see myself in that position. And I think figuring out where your position is and focusing in on being the best at that, you don't know where that's going to lead you later, but I think that's a key to this that not a lot... We can't all be the Netflix special guy, bro. It's just not going to happen. There's too fucking many of us. It's not going... So if you can find that place where, like, this is my best talents, so the way that I can use them the most, and then just do that everywhere you can fucking do it, I feel like that's the best use of your time and your stuff.
That is... That's literally... That's how it, like, happened for me. Like, I didn't set out to... Like, I didn't want to be the guy.
Right.
I hate being in charge of things.
For sure.
I hate having to be the people that people were like, hey, how? What about this? How do you do that? I hate being the guy.
For sure.
I got on the road and, like, I got with, like... I ran into those issues with, like, in certain places and in certain circles, like the thing we all talk about, like, the scarcity mindset or the, mm-hmm. you know, I run into the, like, I don't want to follow that
right.
comics.
For sure.
And so then you accidentally end up in that spot.
Yep.
And then you're like, why, if I can't do that, if I can't, like, open here, then I got to figure out something here. Mm-hmm. And then you just become that. And then, like... Other people start being like, hey, how do you do that? How
right.
did you do that? How did you do that? And then it just, yeah. But I've always been like the hey, I like, come do this with me. Come do this with me. I don't like doing things by myself.
Sure.
Like, I don't like having to be the guy.
100%.
That's why I like bringing people with me.
For sure,
But I understand, like, the people, like, that the people that have that mindset that like, no, I'm gonna be the guy, but you have to have the hustle to get there,
right?
And it's almost like the, it's the, it's like the same logic of like the guy who doesn't want to like the position is probably the best guy for the position
because he understands the position the most, you know, for sure. I feel like so many people. Yeah, it looks good to be that Joe Rogan or that, you know, the big name or whatever. Joe Rogan wakes up at 4 o'clock in the fucking morning every morning. It doesn't matter if he went to bed last night at 1 o'clock or whatever, because this guy's got a fucking schedule to take. When you get to a certain place, there is no more day off. There is no more sleep time. There is no more relax. Yeah, maybe you schedule 3 days out of your year. Maybe you schedule a week out of your year. But to get to that place is a place of work that I don't feel like most people who want it would be able to handle that pressure. Well, you know what I mean? It's a lot.
I was about to say, sometimes it's not even the work, it's the pressure. It's
the pressure of it.
Not only do you not have like days off or anything like that, it's you never have a day where you're not worried about something.
100%. Where it's, 100%, dude.
Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm off this week, but how are my tickets selling? How is I have to keep the social media algorithm fed? I gotta figure out who I'm bringing to these shows and who I'm bringing to this show and how do I get people to hear and how do I do this and did I book my travel for this yet? Do I have a hotel? Right. What's the pay? There's always something that's in your head that you have to answer because that's the cost of being the guy.
100%.
And a lot of people want the position, but they don't want to pay the cost.
Exactly. And I feel like, oddly enough, my reptile thing, it prepped me for all of that kind of, because I was having to schedule my own events and my own shows already. I'm already traveling all over the country, and I still got to run this business at the fucking house. I had to have a team to move to the, sometimes I would be in Vegas, and I would have a crew that was in Houston at the same time, and I'm on the phone back and forth making sure both of these things are, so I feel like that lifestyle already kind of prepped me for what I'm kind of getting into now. You know what I mean? I'm used to being, I'm a road dog, bro. I'm good with the road. I can be in a car and be someplace and be back in that motherfucker again and be where I need to be. I was just kind of built for that already.
I was built for that. That's why the van was like so great. I get up, I go. Like, that's it. I go where I need to be. And that was the whole focus of it.
Fuck yeah. I think that Kill Tony thing, man. Fucking, there are not a lot of people that I see that are driving 4 hours every week to go to Kill Tony.
Right. It takes, like, you have to have that dog in you.
Right.
Like, you have to have.
For sure.
You have to have that. You have to have that thing in you that's going to make you go do it even when you don't want to do it. And, like, when you're not feeling well.
Absolutely days that I don't feel like hopping in that car and making that drive. I just come back from Altus, Oklahoma on a Sunday night at 2 in the morning. Yeah. At 2 in the morning or whatever, and I gotta get up the next day, tend to my farm, and hop in a car, and I fucking go do it again. And I always get asked, like, the DFW comics, for the most part, the ones that aren't kind of like part of my crew, they've been real harsh about it. Like, you know, if you just stayed and you did this or that, you know, you could get more bookings locally. You know, if you just worked more around town and more people would put you on locally. But they didn't see that, like, dude, I got to fucking do Casey Rocket shows. I got to do Cam Patterson shows. I got to fucking sit down with David Jolly and get his number, and now he just calls me once a week to see if I'm doing all right and what I'm working on. You know what I'm saying? I made all these fucking connections with these people now that, like, you can't get that just staying in your hometown doing the same open mic every week. And I did those mics too, and I wore them fucking out. But I also, Monday nights, I'm in fucking Austin, and I'm fucking working something, man. You know, it started out, it was at that D-Madness mic that he used to have next door at Shakespeare. The first time I went in there and crushed, now I didn't have to sign up anymore. They would just bump me in when they needed somebody to come in and bring it back. And then that changed hands, so I was going to the next fucking mic across town. Fucking, I kept going where I thought the fucking people and the next thing was going to be that somebody could fucking see me. And it all just kept developing, man. I met Dusty down there in those lines, which is how I met you. It's all fucking connected, man. But it all came from those fucking trips. And some of those trips, man, fucking me and my buddies be on the phone with each other, because me and my friend used to drive back and forth every week. We'd pretty much race each other up and down 35. He'd come from 35 from Fort Worth. I'd come from Dallas. We'd meet about the same place. Oh, there's cops on fucking this exit or whatever. You know, we'd be giving each other the heads up or whatever. And every week, going down, we're all excited. You know what I mean? But when you're coming back and you didn't get pulled for Tony, and maybe there were 50 people on a mic list at Creek and you couldn't get up at Creek. So now I just drove 8 hours fucking a day. I didn't get any fucking stage time. There were some sad talks on them phone calls too, man. It wasn't all just fucking happy times and rainbows either, man. But like now, like that guy, I don't want to fucking just name drop, but that guy's Drew Nickens, who's the new regular on fucking Kill Tony. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for us grinding those 10 and a half, 11 months, none of this stuff would be happening the way it is, man. You just, you have to have that dog in you first, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with anything that you do.
100%. You got to be obsessed, and you just got to do it every day, man.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the Ron Swanson quote from Parks and Rec that I live by. You can't hold a half-ass two things. You got a whole-ass one thing.
Goddamn right, man. Goddamn
right. You got to get in
whole-ass one thing.
That's it, man. 100%.
I used to grind. I hit it hard when I first started in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like, I started up in Duluth. I drive 3 hours up to Duluth, do 3 minutes, drive 3 hours back to New Richmond, Wisconsin, maybe have an hour or two to myself, and then go into work at like 4 or 5 in the morning and build computer parts. Yeah,
that's a grind,
parts.
Bro. That's a grind.
I should not have been building those computer parts. There are some computers that are not working out there.
For sure.
For sure.
Sorry. For sure. I gave your computer a virus before it even turned on.
Hell yeah. But then you look where that grind led you, man, you know?
Sure. I mean, Duluth led me to the Twin Cities, and I used to do, like, little triangle runs there, like 3 or 4 spots a night.
Yep.
Driving, like, an hour in between each one, trying to fucking make it all work, which led me to meeting him, which led me to this couch.
100%, dude.
100%. Which led me to this couch.
Yeah, I tell people all that. Whatever that thing is that you've been waiting to do, that you've been putting off, fucking go do that shit. Do it like your life depends on it, man. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I know. We always overcomplicate something that's so easy. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Who gives a fuck? Shut the fuck up.
Worried about judgment and lack of self-confidence are the two things that are going to keep you from your dreams.
Yeah, fear.
That's it.
Fear.
That's it.
Fear. Fear is fake.
Yep.
It is not real.
For sure.
You don't think fear is real?
I think, like, you're like... I mean, if somebody's coming at me with a gun, that's real. I think the delusion of, like, I can't do something, self-fear creation is not real.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Hell yeah.
Not a bear is, that's,
yeah.
That's real.
That's real. My feelings about that bear are real.
Yeah. Unless you're on mushrooms, it might not be real.
Yeah.
Internalized fear is also real, but you have to realize you can do something with it.
Right. You can use that as a positive force.
It's fucking Star Wars, that shit, dude.
Right, exactly.
Fear turns to hate. Hate turns to anger. Use the anger.
Exactly. Oh, 90% of the shit I've done in my life was to prove somebody wrong that told me I couldn't fucking do it, dude.
Yeah, girl.
I'll cut my own foot off right now just to prove you wrong and tell me I can't do something, dude. That's just, I'm stubborn like that.
Wait, yeah. Leo?
That's why I joined the army.
Oh, hell yeah.
And people said I couldn't do it, and I was like,
right.
Watch me do it.
Yeah.
When I started making music, everybody said, you'll never make money doing that. And I built a fucking recording studio, and I was paying bills fucking doing recording sessions for other artists. It's because their conception was, oh, I'm going to go be a rapper. No, I used my stuff to promote my business that I made money off of, selling time to these other people, you know? And when I got into snakes, the same thing. All the guys that were teaching me kind of about the business or whatever, they're like, we're all triple divorced. You'll never make this fucking work. It's either all in on the animals or you have a family. There's no time. The market crashes. I made the last 12 years fucking just like showing these guys wrong because I paid every fucking bill I've had off of fucking snake money. The first open mic I ever went to, the guy running the mic when I came in, he was really busting my balls hard. And the first thing he told me was like, you'll never make any money at this. Don't expect that anytime soon. And I was like, bet. Because, like, you can't challenge me like that. I'm gonna fucking rise to the occasion every time. It's just what I do. It's just what I do. Against whatever odds, I'm going to persevere, dude.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
For sure.
What a great message.
I've been short and fat my whole life. I've been against all odds since I was very young.
Don't for talk sure. bad about yourself, short king.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I'm used to working against the odds. For sure.
You're a prince. You bring the joy. You bring the food. And you bring the snakes.
For sure, dude. Yeah. For sure.
And the psychedelic frogs.
Yeah, we need to talk about hot sauce. Trips. I got a hot sauce business, too. I grow all the veggies that go into my hot sauce.
Okay, well, now you're just fucking bragging.
Yeah, I've got a case of hot sauce and a case of homemade pickles I'm selling tonight at the show. So, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to get some of them pickles.
Yeah, I'll hook y'all up. For sure, for sure.
Sexy.
Yeah. I love pickles and hot sauce.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, dude, plug all of your businesses.
Yeah,
all
right. Plug them
all. Ivory the Hobbit King is what you can find me at on Instagram. Ivory Mon King on Facebook. I don't have like a website or anything for any of my products, but if you just message me, I'm shipping out hot sauce packages all the time. I'm not shipping pickles right now because glass jars in the mail just doesn't do fucking well. But you can catch me doing the Fort Worth shows here with these fellas in the next couple of days. I got a Drew Nickens and Friends coming up at the end of the month at Plano, Texas. I'll be at the Gathering of Juggalos August 16th, opening for Big J fucking Okerson. We got a lot of things going on, man. Ivory Connection has a YouTube channel that I need to put more shit on. But if you want to see me playing with snakes and doing educational stuff and talking like I'm Alex Jones, that's all on the Ivory Connection's YouTube channel, man.
Yeah, put more content on that fucking YouTube.
I need to
dude.
Really get after it.
Yes,
man.
Girl.
I used to have a guy would come and video and edit. I'm like old and retarded with stuff like that. Like, I don't know how to edit and all this. So that's I'm working on now getting like my little crew together. There We've been go. Filming a bunch of stuff for another guy right now, and it's gonna come together. It's gonna come together.
It always does.
Hell yeah, for
just
sure.
Just sell more pickles, and then you'll have there you pickle go. Money to pay an editor.
Pickle money.
It's funny because everything pays for the hot sauce, pays for the pigs, and the pigs pay for the snake food, and the snakes pay for the something's paying for something on the ladder the whole
it's
way.
It's the cycle of life. Man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, for sure. The for cycle. Sure.
Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers to pay for professional pixel editors.
I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, dude.
Do you have any shows you want to plug?
So many. Dude, I literally have added like 12 shows to my calendar in the last 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
I've got dates all over the country between now and December 19th, and we're still adding dates, but almost all of them are already on my website at ajwilkerson.com. Wherever, Denver, Fort Collins, Colorado, Boston, Phoenix, Pittsburgh,
San Diego,
fuck yeah,
Irvine, California, Ontario, California. I'm going up to West Nyack, New York. I'm all over the place, and Kansas City. I'm at Fountain City Comedy Festival, and then the weekend that weekend I'm in Springfield, Missouri. Literally I'm everywhere I can go, and we're the calendar is almost completely full through the end of the year, so go get your tickets.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Also, you can get extra footage from this podcast, bonus content, everything on our Patreon at patreon.com/TardationNation.
Thanks for coming to the Tard Yard.
Fuck. That was awesome.
What in tarnation?